Chicago ready?
Yeah!
Is New York ready?
Yeah!
Then make way for the Quiz of Two Cities, presented by Listerine Toothpaste. And welcome you are, folks, each and every one of you. You're just in time for another fast and furious battle of wits between Chicago and New York. Last week's bout was taken by New York, but that only makes Chicago all the more determined to do a little winning of their own on today's Quiz of Two Cities. There goes the bell for round one, and here comes the New York's team raring to go. You're on your own, Bud Collier.
Okay, thanks from New York. And thank you, Mike Fitzmaurice, and how are you all, friends? And Mike, I'm glad to say, is right. We are raring to go, right over the line for a good, fat, juicy touchdown with our swell team from the Advertising Club of New York. And our first contestant is Mr. Philip J. Kelly. Mr. Kelly, would you step up to the microphone? Stand right there, sir. Facing me, that's there. What is your occupation in advertising, sir?
I'm the sales manager of Carstairs Brothers.
I see. And are you, understand you're also active in the War Advertising Council. Is that true?
Yes, sir. I'm managing the veterans campaign.
And what does that job entail at the moment?
Well, it entails three different campaigns to help the veterans get readjusted to civilian life.
I imagine your advertising experience comes in very powerfully there. How long have you been in advertising, by the way?
About 25 years.
And you enjoy it?
Yes, sir.
Well, tell me, what do you have any particular hobby that you do outside of, you don't advertise around the house. Do you walk around with slogans and whatnot?
I try it, but it doesn't do much good.
I mean, your wife has better slogans than you have, is that it?
She does seem to have. I just got back from a hunting trip.
Oh, hunting.
Where I have
like
a hobby.
Hunting season's on now, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Are you pretty good?
Well, I like to think I am. But I wasn't so good this week.
What were you out for?
Well, I went out for deer in the beginning of the week, and we got some ducks yesterday.
Wound up with duck. Well, that's a come down, but I'm glad you had a lot of that good old fresh air. This fall season is really one of the best we have back here in the East, especially. Well, now, are you ready, sir, to dive into some questions here and get some shekels for yourself and some points for the team?
I'm ready.
All right, sir. Here we go. This is your first question. Now, listen carefully. You should know this. One of America's oldest and best-loved radio programs is Amos and Andy. You've undoubtedly heard it many times, haven't you?
That is right.
All right. Now, is it Amos or Andy who plays the part of Brother Crawford?
Amos plays the part of Brother
Crawford. Right, you are, sir. That's well. All right, here's your second question worth 10 points and $3. They're going up. The youngest of all the uniformed women's war organizations has 100,000 young women as members throughout the country, the largest membership. Now, is this newest yet largest organization the WAC, the WAVE, or the Cadet Nurse Corps?
The Cadet Nurse Corps is the newest.
Absolutely, sir. You're quite right. The newest and the largest, and a mighty swell job they're doing, too. And all women's services need more members. You can just bet your boots on that. They can always use them and need them, and it's a wonderful contribution that the members thereof make to the war effort. I think you'll agree with me there, won't you?
It's a wonderful contribution. Just look at those pretty uniforms.
Well, aside from that, the gals that wear them are really doing a swell job. Now, here's our third question worth 20 points and $5. You're getting right up in the big money now. Abbreviated forms of a company's name make for concise trademarks. I should be telling you that. You should be telling me that. Now, what companies do these abbreviated forms of company names stand for? Alcoa, A-L-C-O-A.
Aluminum Corporation of America.
Well, I'll leave that to the judges. The company, I don't know. The judge says fine. All right, Corporation Company. Aluminum Corporation of America. Armco, A-R-M-C-O.
Armco Ingot Iron. American Rolling Mills.
That's right. I held my breath on that one. Sound like double dog for a minute. Conoco, C-O-N-O-C-O.
Continental Oil Corporation.
Right, sir. Boy, he's knocked right down here. Nabisco, we all know that.
National Biscuit.
National Biscuit Company. It's well done, Mr. Kelly. You get an extra $5, and you also get two nice tubes of Listerine toothpaste for a smile that's very quick and ready there.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. It's the safe prescription for your teeth. Now, don't go away, folks. There's another side to this round number one, and who else would that be but our distinguished gentleman from Chicago and Holland Engel. Well, thank you. Thank you, Chicago Rooters. And just wait till you hear our side of the story, Bud Collier in New York. We'll have plenty to say. And now, friends, meet the first member of our team, all selected from the Chicago Federated Advertising Club. And he is Mr. G.D. Crane, Jr., publisher of Advertising Age magazine. Mr. Crane, it's a pleasure to have you here today. And in line with your duties as publisher of Advertising Age, are you taking any further part in any other activities today?
Are you doing anything else outside of the publishing job of that magazine?
Not today.
No. Well, I mean during the week, then. May I rephrase the question? Do you do anything else, Mr. Crane, or is that your whole operation?
Oh, well, we have a number of other publications.
Do you have anything to do with any advertising other than the publishing of those magazines, or you just spend your whole time putting out those magazines?
That's right.
That's a man-sized job, huh?
Well, pretty near.
All right. Now, Mr. Crane, you step right up close to that microphone, because I'm going to ask you a few questions in a moment. First, were you able to hear any of the questions or the answers from New York?
No, I was not.
Absolutely not. And that's because the Quiz of Two Cities takes place in different studios in different cities. Only the judges and the listening audience can hear both sides. Well, now let's go on with our side. Here's the first question, paying a solid 10 points and $2 silver. And here it is. One of America's oldest and best-loved radio programs is Amos and Andy. Now, tell me, is it Amos or Andy who plays the part of Brother Crawford? You've heard that program, haven't you, Amos and Andy?
Yes.
You know the two voices, you know
yes.
the voice. All right, now, is it Amos or is it Andy who plays the part of Brother Crawford?
Amos.
Amos, he said. All right, let's go on to the second question worth 10 points and $3. The youngest of all the uniformed women's war organizations has 100,000 young women as members throughout the country. The largest membership. Now, is this newest yet largest organization the WAC, the WAVE, or the Cadet Nurses Corps? Is this newest yet largest organization the WAC, the WAVE, or the Cadet Nurses Corps?
The Cadet Nurses Corps.
The Cadet Nurses Corps. And say there's a plug right there for all women to get interested at once in women's services, because they need more members wherever it's possible for you young ladies to cooperate with our country. All right, your third question worth 20 points and $5. Abbreviated forms of a company's name make for concise trademarks. Now, what companies do these following stand for? I'm going to give them, and you tell me what the companies are. The first one is Alcoa, A-L-C-O-A.
Aluminum Company of America.
All right, A-R-M-C-O, Armco.
American Rolling Mills Company.
And C-O-N-O-C-O, Conoco.
Continental Oil Company.
And finally, Nabisco, N-A-B-I-S-C-O.
National Biscuit Company.
Well, you've won our applause, Mr. Crane. Yes, sir. And also, you've won yourself $5 extra. And these two big blue and white tubes of Listerine toothpaste, the prescription for your teeth. And now, before round number two begins, let's all listen very carefully to Bud Collier, who's going to tell us one of his favorite fabulous fables. All right, Bud.
Once upon a time, there was a plain Jane who roomed with a gorgeous creature. The gorgeous creature had more curves than a roller coaster. Her legs were so beautiful that on them, gray cotton looked just as seductive as nylon. Only in the dental department was she a little weak. Her smile was definitely on the gray side. But the gorgeous creature didn't care. When the chassis is classy, who would stop to be dental? Now, her roommate, Plain Jane, was quite the opposite. She had just enough figure to hold a dress up, but nothing like the gorgeous creature. She could get around on her legs, but they, too, were nothing like the gorgeous creature. But in the dental department, she hit the jackpot. When she smiled, it was a radiant, heartwarming, come-hither sort of a smile that showed a perfect 32. Don't get any wrong ideas, folks. A perfect 32 teeth. Now, Plain Jane was no goon with a head like an empty gourd. Oh, no. She knew her smile was her best asset. And she took good care of it. But good. She used the best dentifrice she knew. Listerine toothpaste. So, when the handsome Prince Charming rode up on his snow-white charger with a pocket full of A coupons and a 3-inch steak under his vest, who did he go for? The gorgeous creature, all shape and no smile? Or Plain Jane? With no shape and some smile. Well, folks, brace yourself. He didn't go for either one. He went for Listerine toothpaste, saying to himself, if it can help bring my smile up to scratch, I can get a sweetheart better than either of these two. So giving spur to his beautiful white charger, he rode off to his home where he ate the 3-inch steak all by himself, laid aside the A coupons for a more romantic day, brushed his teeth with Listerine toothpaste, and went to bed. Good night, sweet prince.
As if we needed any warning that it's time for round two on this quiz of two cities between New York and Chicago. Well, Bud Collier, what are you waiting for? A special warning?
No, not us, Mike. No, sir. We're just waiting for our second distinguished question killer to get up to the microphone here. He's Mr. Charles E. Murphy. Mr. Murphy, would you step up here? You are, as I understand, sir, past president of the New York Advertising Club. Is that right?
That's right, Bud.
And counsel for the Advertising Federation of America.
That's right.
Well, swell, sir. What hobbies have you got?
I play a little golf
occasionally.
Golf, and you right at the moment. I was in advertising several years before I started to practice law.
Wow, practice law now too.
Indeed, so.
Hey, you're really running the thing both ends. Would you mind stepping over just
a little? Oh, sure.
Well, that's fine. Well, now, are you ready to practice on a few of these questions here, boy?
Yes,
give
sir.
Give us the legal answers. Huh?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So here's the first one. We all know the wonderful work the canines are doing. That's the specially trained war dogs, you know.
Yes.
But have they been trained as mine detectors, too? Let me read that again to you. We all know the wonderful work the canines are doing, but have they been trained as mine detectors, too?
Oh, indeed so.
Indeed they have, yes, sir. Most people don't know that, but they have been trained to detect non-metallic landmines that can't be found with our mechanical equipment. Now, here's our second question, worth 10 points and $3. You got 10 points and $2 for that last one. To what kingdom, animal, vegetable, or mineral, do each of the following belong? Selenese, Pekingese, and manganese. Now, let's take the first one first. Selenese, to what kingdom does that belong?
Mineral.
Pekingese.
Animal.
Pekingese animal. Manganese. Manganese, which kingdom? Animal, vegetable, mineral.
I'd say mineral also.
Oh, that's right, but unfortunately the first guess was wrong. However, you may get some partial credit on that. I don't know. I'll have to leave that entirely to the judges. Here's your third question, though, worth 20 points and $5 now. See what you can do to this one. In addition to being trade names, what do the following words have in common? Now think. Cellophane, Cellotex, Windbreaker, Dictaphone, Kodak, Listerine, Pyrex, Thermos, Vaseline. Now, aside from those, the fact that those are all trade names, what else do they have in common?
Common usages.
Well, yeah, I guess the judges say yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. They're all in the dictionary was one reason we had here. And the other answer was that they had become part of our everyday language, and consequently, common usages is absolutely right. Well, you did all right for yourself, Mr. Murphy. Let me give you two tubes of this Listerine toothpaste. It's a safe prescription for your teeth. It's refreshing. Use it. You'll like it, I know.
Thank you very much,
Mr. Murphy. Now let's make a nice quick switch to Chicago, where Holland Engel can hardly wait to start asking some questions of his own.
Right, Bud, right. And where we might add, Mr. Homer J. Buckley, president of Buckley DeMet Company, can hardly wait to answer those questions. How are you today, Mr. Buckley? We're glad to have you with us.
Very fine.
Mr. Buckley, are you tied up in your business completely, as I asked Mr. Crane at the beginning, or do you have some outside irons in the fire also?
Yes, indeed, I have a number of them.
Number of outside irons. Are they all in advertising, Mr. Buckley?
No, I'm on the sponsoring committee of the War Advertising Council.
I see.
And I'm also chairman of the Six War Loan Committee Special Groups Division.
Sounds to me like you had your handful right there, and I'll bet the way you're looking at me, you have some more irons in the fire as well. Well, look, let's get going here for your questions, and your first one worth 10 points and $2. Now, listen carefully. We all know the wonderful work the canines are doing, the specially trained war dogs, you know, but have they been trained as mine detectors, too? Now, I'm going to give you that again. We all know the wonderful work the canines are doing, the specially trained war dogs. But have they been trained as mine detectors, too?
Yes.
Do you say they have? All right, the second question worth 10 points and $3. To what kingdom, animal, vegetable, or mineral, do each of the following belong? First, Selenese, then Pekingese, and finally manganese. I'm getting my things mixed up here. I'll give them to you again. Selenese, Pekingese, and manganese. I'll give you the first one. Selenese. What does that belong to, animal, vegetable, or mineral? Selenese.
Mineral.
Mineral. And let's go to Pekingese.
I don't know.
Animal, vegetable, or mineral?
I don't know.
You don't know what a Pekingese is. All right. We'll go on to the last one. Manganese.
Mineral.
Mineral. All right, I'm afraid we're going to hit a little jackpot in that particular question, because we got one I know wrong. But we'll go on to the third question worth 20 points and $5. And now, Mr. Buckley, let's really get this one. In addition to being trade names, what do the following words have in common? Cellophane, Cellotex, Windbreaker, Dictaphone, Kodak, Listerine, Pyrex, Thermos, Vaseline. Now, in addition to being trade names, what do those words have in common?
They're great advertising names.
I believe we'll leave that to the judges. I think great advertising names would be a fair answer in that case. Would you like to clarify that little bit in any way for me before we go on?
Well, they're popular in the public mind.
Popular in the public mind. Thank you very much. That was swell, Mr. Buckley. And while we wait for the jackpot question to come up, here's $5 extra and these 2 tubes of that remarkable prescription for your teeth, Listerine Toothpaste. All of which brings us now to Mike Bismarck with the Midway Scores.
Well, the Midway Scores on today's Quiz of Two Cities are 70 points for Chicago and 70 points for New York. That's right, folks. It's a tie score with nobody ahead at the half. But as you know, every quiz has 4 quarters, to say nothing about that jackpot, so it's still anybody's fight.
Here's round 3, and both teams are ready to step into the ring and slug it out for a final victory. Come on in, New York, and Bud Collier, and let's look you over.
You better look fast, Mike. Better look fast, because we're all set to show you some tricky footwork here, to say nothing about some good, fast brain work. And here's Mr. Francis Lawton, Jr., our next contestant, stepping up here to the microphone to help us out in this department. Mr. Lawton, you're an advertising executive.
In the manner of speaking, yes, sir.
Yeah, what's the manner of speaking?
I am president of General Business Films Incorporated.
I see.
Films for advertising purposes, among many other things.
You are, I understand, also on this War Activities Council of New York, right?
I was the first chairman, but I've had some successes since.
I see. Well, you put your stint in there, I'm sure. Weren't you the founder of a famous ad club somewhere, too? One of the founding fathers?
I was one of the founders of the Advertising Club of Baltimore.
In Baltimore. But now you owe your allegiance to New York. Is that the idea?
Yes, I was transferred here some years ago.
Well, we're glad you were. We're glad to have you on the team. Now, here's your first question. To whom do these trademarks belong? The pyramids. I'll give you the 3 of them. The pyramids, an Indian chief, Satan. Now, to whom does the trademark of the pyramids belong? How about an Indian chief? Can you think of a trademark that has an Indian chief? A picture of an Indian chief. Just a head, I believe it is.
Nothing but the Indian penny.
Well, that's a good ad, I'll say. How about Satan, if you have enough of them, that is? How about Satan? What have you seen the picture of Satan on as a trademark?
Underwood's deviled hand.
That's right. That's a good answer. Absolutely, sir. Got right in there on that one. Well, I'm sorry we didn't get the first. You want to try the pyramids once more? Didn't give a guess on that.
Unless you mean Egyptian deities.
No,
but
no.
I haven't seen it.
Well, all right, let's go to our second question. Worth 10 points and $3. Old Man River recalls the famous musical production entitled Of Thee I Sing, The Merry Widow, or Showboat.
Showboat.
That's right, sir. All right, here's your third question worth 20 points and $5. How's your Shakespeare?
Only fair.
Only fair. Well, see what you can do with this. You should have any trouble telling us if you can think just a little concisely here. From what Shakespearean plays, the following well-known quotations are taken. Now, here's the first one. Uneasy lies the head that wears the crown.
Hamlet.
All right, here's your second one. A horse, my kingdom for a horse. These days of A coupons, I can say that again.
I think that was from Hamlet, too.
All right, and brevity is the soul of wit.
King Lear.
Oh, dear heaven. Hamlet was right on the first two, but, I mean, on the last one, but not on the first two. So we didn't get any credit on that. But thanks anyway, Mr. Lawton, for coming up. Don't feel badly about it, because, frankly, if I had any answers here in front of me, I wouldn't have known them either. Not that that gives you any comfort. But here are 2 tubes of Listerine toothpaste created by experts as a safe prescription for your teeth. Thank you very much. Now, without losing a breath, and with just the click of a switch, it's Holland Engel in Chicago.
And without even the click of a switch, I give you Mr. Elon G. Borton, ad director of the LaSalle Extension University here in Chicago. Mr. Borton, it's a pleasure to have you up here this afternoon. I'm going to ask you the same question I asked several of the other gentlemen. Do you do anything else besides your activities down at LaSalle Extension?
Yes, a great deal.
One or two, Mr. Borton?
Quite active in Boy Scouts, and I have a garden.
And you have a garden. I'll say, I had a garden about a year ago, but I haven't gotten over it yet. My back is still a little stiff. I think I'm going to start up again next year. Well, all right, Mr. Borton, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's get on with the questions here. Your first question is worth 10 points and $2. You all ready for it?
Ready.
All right, ready and waiting. To whom do these trademarks belong? I'm going to give you 3 of them, and you can tell me afterwards. The pyramids, an Indian chief, and Satan. Now let's go back to the first one. To whom do these trademarks belong? The first one, the pyramid. You have any idea on that, Mr. Horton, at all?
No, I do not know.
All right, we'll go on to the next one. An Indian chief. As Bud said a moment ago, I believe it's just the head of an Indian chief. Do you have any idea of any product that uses an Indian chief's head?
Is that the Indian Oil Company?
Well, I think we'll leave that to the judges. There's a possibility that answer might be correct, Mr. Horton. It's not the answer I have here, but it might be. The third one is Satan. A picture of that old fellow with the horns, you know. What would that occur as a trademark for?
I do not know.
He does not know. Well, we're going to have to drop a couple of little coins here, I think, at that point. But we'll go on to the second question worth 10 points and $3. And I'm sure you get this one. Old Man River recalls the famous musical production entitled Of Thee I Sing, The Merry Widow, or Showboat. Now, there are three. What
Showboat.
Does it recall? Showboat. All right, fine. We'll go on to the next, the third question worth 20 points and $5. Now, how's your Shakespeare, Mr. Horton? You pretty good on Shakespeare?
No, not
so not good. Not so good. Neither am I. We'll struggle through this one, then. You'll have no trouble telling us from what Shakespearean plays the following well-known quotations are taken. I'll give them to you. Perhaps they'll come back to you from your school days. The first one is, uneasy lies the head that wears the crown.
That's from Julius Caesar.
That's from Julius Caesar, he says. All right. A horse, my kingdom for a horse. What Shakespearean play does that come from? I know my Shakespearean acting is very, very lousy, but whose isn't, Mr. Boyd? a horse, my kingdom for a horse. Shakespearean play.
Seems to me it's from Hamlet, then.
From Hamlet? All right. The last one is, brevity is the soul of wit.
No, I do not know.
He doesn't know, so we're going to have to hit that jackpot. But that's sort of pitching your curve, Mr. Horton, because, frankly, I wouldn't have known any of those either, and I don't think Bud Collier in New York would have. But nice answering. It's been a pleasure having you up here. And here are your two tubes of that Listerine toothpaste, the prescription for your teeth.
Yes, sir!
Well, folks, come election day, I'm going to vote for...
Hey, wait a minute. You know we can't discuss politics on this program.
Well, all I was going to say was that I always vote the straight...
You can't say that over the air.
Well, I can say it, too. I always vote the straight Listerine ticket. Listerine toothpaste, Listerine shaving cream, and Listerine antiseptic. Three excellent candidates with long, clean records behind them.
Oh, boy, you got something there. Now, just take Listerine toothpaste, for example. It's the choice of more than a million discriminating voters because of its outstanding ability to help cleanse and polish teeth, because of its record for pinpoint cleansing. Listerine toothpaste gets after and helps clean many of those hard-to-get-at pinpoint cracks in enamel where so much ugly decay may start. 75%, some authorities say.
Yep, and Listerine toothpaste also wins a lot of votes on account of its delicious, fresh mint flavor.
And don't forget the economy plank in the Listerine toothpaste platform. The big blue and white tube costs little and lasts and lasts and lasts. Listen to that bell clang, and while you're at it, listen to round four and listen, too, to Bud Collier as he gets his New York team underway.
All right, while everyone's in a listening mood, Mike, let's take a listen to New York's next contestant, Mr. G. Lynn Sumner. Mr. Sumner, would you step up here to the microphone? Mr. Sumner, I believe, is president of G. Lynn Sumner Company.
That's
not worth mistaking that. Past president of the Advertising Club, too, I understand.
Correct.
All right, now, here we go with our last chance to build up our score before the jackpot, Mr. Sumner. A right answer to this question brings home some of that well-known bacon, which is hard to get, both senses of the word. 10 points and $2 silver to you. Here's your first one. Pictures of people from the past are often registered as trademarks. You know that.
Yes.
Well, identify the following. The 16th president of the United States. Now, he has been connected as a trademark with some company.
Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln, yes, sir. All right.
Lincoln Life Insurance.
Right, absolutely. Here's the second one. Queen Victoria's husband.
Prince Albert.
Prince Albert.
Tobacco.
That's right, sir. And a knight famed for having spread his cloak in the mud.
Sir Walter Raleigh.
That's right, sir. Good deal. All right. Here's the next question for 10 points and $3. How is your voice, Mr. Sumner?
How is my voice?
How's your voice?
Well, it's...
passable. It's passable. All right, well, get it ready.
Passable.
Get it ready.
Don't tell me I'm a thing.
No, we'll see what happens here. Not long ago, everybody was talking about the Fifinellas. Have you heard the expression, the Fifinellas? Well, now, if you think a Fifinella is a new sort of rocket gun, sing a few bars of Rockabye Baby. If you think a Fifanella is a female gremlin, sing Three Blind Mice.
Three blind
mice. Good deal, would you, Doctor? All right, here's your third question worth 20 points and $5. The Liberty ship Louis Pasteur, listen to that name, Louis Pasteur, the Liberty ship, was not christened with the usual bottle of champagne. However, it was christened with a bottle of a more appropriate fluid. What was it and why? Would you know? Think of that name now. I'm snitching in the audience.
Well, could be Listerine.
No, that's not a Oh, what would you say? It was christened with a bottle of a more appropriate fluid than champagne. Liberty ship Louis Pasteur. I can't make any broader than that. You make me mighty contented if you answer this correctly. I'm
Oh.
Mighty Louis contented. Pasteur. I'll be so contented I'll go out of here smiling from
could
here to
be pasteurized milk.
That's right! Oh, dear. You got that. Thank you, Mrs. Sumner. You got $5 extra and 2 big 2s and that famous prescription for your teeth, Listerine toothpaste. Thanks very much. And quick like a bunny over to Chicago and Holiday.
All right, thanks a lot. And here's our anchor man, Mr. Glenn Miller, who's going to make with some right answers quick like a bunny. But first, Mr. Miller, what are your connections in the advertising club?
Well, I'm president of Chicago Federated Advertising Club. And I'm hoping we'll win today because we fellas have decided we're going to turn our money over to the off-the-street club.
What's the off-the-street club, Mr. Miller?
Well, that is a boys and girls club out in one of our worst sections on the west side that the Chicago advertising interests have helped to carry.
Oh, fine, Mr. Miller. We'll say I hope you win, too, because it's a worthy cause. All right, let's give you your first 10-point and $2 silver question, shall we? Here we are. Pictures of people from the past are often registered as trademarks. I want you to identify the following. First, the 16th president of the United States. Can you identify that as a trademark? One of our presidents, well-known 16th president of the United States. Who used him as a trademark?
Must be the Lincoln Life Insurance.
All right, sir. And next, Queen Victoria's husband. What?
I heard that. I was about to say it was a cigar, but I did hear the...
Well, what would you say about that? Did you hear prompting from the audience, you mean?
I would have said it was a cigar.
Well, we'll leave that to the judges then, Mr. Miller. Now, we'll go on to the third one. A knight famed for having spread his cloak in the mud.
Raleigh cigarette.
Oh, fine, fine. All right, now your second question worth 10 points and $3. How's your voice, Mr. Miller? Can you sing?
No, not at all.
Well, we won't ask you. Well, get ready to work on it a little bit anyway. Not long ago, everybody was talking about the Fifanellas. Now, if you think a Fifanella is a new sort of rocket gun, I want you to sing just a couple of bars of Rockabye Baby. But if you think a Fifanella is a female gremlin, then sing Three Blind Mice.
Three blind
mice. All right! Now then, your third question worth 20 points and $5. The Liberty ship Louis Pasteur was not christened with the usual bottle of champagne. However, it was christened with a bottle of more appropriate fluid. What was it and why, do you know?
Must have been Listerine.
No, we had that answer in New York, but we'll give you a chance to think that over. Now, this is going to be sort of like milking it out of you, but I'll have to get at it. The usual bottle of champagne was not used. What would you say it was?
Couldn't have been milk, could it?
All right, fine. I did that because it came from New York that way. Thanks, Mr. Miller. And you win a sensational prize of $5 extra, these 2 tubes of that famous prescription for your teeth, delightful Listerine toothpaste. And now let's hurry back to Mike Fitzmaurice in New York. All right. Here's our jackpot question in New York for the entire team. Now, here we go. In 25 seconds from the time I say go, give me the names of the vice presidents who served with the following presidency. All set? Go. Franklin D. Roosevelt, first term.
Garner.
Right. Herbert Hoover.
Curtis.
Right, Calvin Coolidge.
Curtis.
Warren Harding. Warren G. Harding, Vice President.
Curtis.
First
and
term.
Coolidge.
Woodrow Wilson.
Marshall.
That's right. All right, that's all we have time for. Take it away, Howard Engel. All right, here's our question out in Chicago. The jackpot question, I'm going to give you the names of some men, and I want you to get the names that go with them. When I say go, here's what you have to do. When I say go, give me the names of the vice presidents who served with the following presidents. Okay, set, go. Franklin D. Roosevelt. Who is the vice president?
Wallace.
All right. Herbert Hoover.
Curtis.
Calvin Coolidge.
Dawes.
Warren Harding. Warren G. Harding, who is the vice president? I'll go up the next one. Woodrow Wilson.
Marshall.
Hit that thing. Hit that thing. Now back to New York.
New York wins.
Okay, New York wins. Here's the score. 100 points for Chicago, 120 points for New York. Let's get off the air fast, folks. Be with us next Sunday and every Sunday when Listerine Toothpaste again presents your quiz of two cities. This is Michael Fitzmaurice saying good afternoon, and this is Mutual.